Are you weighed down by the burdens of life? Do you find yourself encouraged by the word of God on Sunday, but lose momentum shortly thereafter? Well, welcome to Sunday Soul Service, an hour designed to strengthen, encourage, and motivate you to keep pushing along the journey we call life. This is Dr. Renee Sunday, the platform builder, encouraging you to believe, trust, and walk it out.
Hi, everybody. Hi, and hi. This is Minister Dr. Renee Sunday. I am the platform builder. Some people actually call me the be seen, be heard, get paid expert. But let me let you know, don't get it twisted. I'm a servant. Amen. But we actually are here. This platform is actually called the Sunday Soul Service because we know our spirit is fine, okay, because that's God, right? But our soul, we got to watch out. We got to know what to do with our emotions. We need to know what to do with what we think is right. But what, guess what we do? We got to renew our mind, guess what, on a daily basis. So I know you go to church on Sunday. You may go on Saturday. You may go during the week. But we actually got to be reminded of a thing, and we got to apply it to our life on a daily basis. So that's what we do here. We actually share the things that, you know, we may not talk about at church, amen? But honestly, we are here to uplift and establish and build a kingdom, amen? I just want to do some housekeeping things. I know you on this line, but I know you over on Facebook, you on Twitter, you on all those things at the same time. I know you are. So if you actually send us a, you know, do a tweet, if something that you want to say, that's a tweetable. If something you want to put a comment on Facebook, you can put it on anywhere on Facebook and tag us in it. Tag us Renee Sunday, or you can go into our group. We actually have a group called Sunday Soul Service as well. But if you use the hashtag Sunday Soul Service, I love it. If you use that, we'll be able to keep up with what you have to say. Now, we actually, what we do is we actually have it every Tuesday. We have different people every Tuesday. The first Tuesday we used to have Minister Martin King. He come out, he break it down to you, the word of God, amen? And then on Tuesday we have none other than Alicia Brown. She's the joy guru. She's the host that time. And then we have Apostle Petaway and Elder Petaway. And we break it down. We've been talking about deliverance, spiritual warfare. We need to talk about that, right? We need to talk about heaven and what? We need to talk about hell. Amen? But anyway, then the third Tuesday is none other than certified life coach, Letitia Bates. Now, she bring it on in now. You know, we talked about last week, and you can check the archive out, is excellence versus perfection. Now, I know as an out for somebody just saying that because you're trying to be perfected. You're trying to be perfect. You know, but one person is perfect. We're never will. We always have a thorn in the side. Amen? So, and then none other than the debut tonight. I'm about to stop, but I got to be right now. We have none other than Erica F. Brooks. She is the CEO of I Know My Value. We got to just say that. I need to just open up these lines. We got to find a way that we can actually, I need to hear y'all, okay? I know my value. So we're going to talk about tonight. We have to start it off with something I know you've been thinking about. I know you've been dreaming about. I know you've been saying, Lord, where my boots? Okay, I said that on Facebook. I said I was going to behave. But seriously, relationships are very important. It's very covenant with our Heavenly Father. You know, the ultimate relationship, of course, is with Him. But He actually gives us that we actually have relationships down here as well. And people are desiring to be married. People are desiring to have that mate. Now, the men, they looking for, right? They looking for the wife, right? And we women, we got to be keep doing what we supposed to be doing. But now I can't delay. I got to hurry up. But let me do this first. Let me do things in decent and what? In order. If you have a question, when we get on down now, if you have a question, we're going to open the lines. You're going to hit star one. Now, we're going to do it in the spirit of excellence. Amen? Okay. So, you know, the engineer's here, and they know what to do when you go there to the right or the left. We got to do it in respect and do it in the spirit of excellence. But we're going to pray just quickly, and we're going to introduce our amazing speaker. The actual, this is her platform every Tuesday. Every fourth Tuesday, she gonna get it right. But anyway, our Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. Just thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for being God and what? Being God all by yourself. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you that you give us the mind that we want to renew our mind in the Word, right? But we actually want to make sure we're doing the what? The practical in the same vein. Lord, we just thank you that you have people, Lord, that we actually can learn from. Lord, people that we can actually say, hey, I may need to look at the man in the mirror. I need to just make sure I line myself up to your word. Lord, you know the desires of our heart. Lord, you know the desires of our heart. We just thank you for relationships, Lord. Lord, thank you for that ultimate relationship, though, with you, Lord. Lord, we count it all joy. We count it all joy in the name of Jesus. We pray that everyone will have a listening ear, Lord, but then also take notes, also, Lord, apply to their life. Ah! These are the blessings I saw in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Now, again, just housekeeping things. Put your comments over there on Facebook. You can put them on Erica's timeline if you want, or you can put it on our timeline. You can tag us. But try to use, if you can, the hashtag Sunday Soul Service. You know what I'm saying? People are going to say, what that is? And they'll be finding out. Hallelujah. But anyway, the actual amazing, magnificent woman of God, I mean, she just sold out. She going to support you now. So watch out. You've been looking for somebody to support you. Uh-oh, you got it now, okay? Yes. Erica F. Brooks. She's the founder and chief consulting officer. Oh, guess what? I Know My Value. Marketplace Consultant, LLC. Okay, y'all listen. I got right on this down. We'll have it on the, so you can remember that. I Know My Value. Jesus paid the price and helps the masses activate. You know what that's Proverbs 18:16, just to be thorough. A man's gift makes room for you. Woo! I'm going to shout on that, but I'm going to behave. And brings him before what? Great men. He said, whoever, he said great men. This is done by imparting wisdom and sharing biblical sound and practice. Oh, she got it all in the bio. Hallelujah. Practical information, resources, and tools. Now, you get the practical, biblically sound, practical information, resources, tools to help diverse individuals, families, organizations identify and increase their value spiritually. You got that? Okay. Personally, and in what? The marketplace. She's just been armored with many gifts. Lord Jesus, thank you. Hallelujah. Teaching, administration, wisdom, 21 years. Now, we didn't say five. We didn't say one. We said 21 years in the trenches of financial expertise to lead people today. Guess what? Woo! Wealth to pay. Lord, give us to get wealth. Okay, I'm going to be good. Erica serves the Metro Atlanta, Columbus, Georgia community over 15 years. She gave birth to many, more than a conquest, MTC, financial empowerment programs that specialize in credit repositioning, home buyer education. Oh, we need all that, okay, right? Foreclosure, prevention. Oh, guess what her rate is? 100% success rate. Girl, hallelujah. And overall, financial fitness. Now, I'm going to go there. Y'all know we need some money to bear our families and bear ourselves. Okay, hallelujah. I ain't going to go there. 2007, MTC Financial Empowerment Group shifted under the umbrella of the nonprofit organization. Well, of course, Erica served as the program manager and professional service business development. You know, to working aside, she works along with everybody. I mean, entrepreneurs that actually want to, you got to get the business right. You say you want a 501c3, okay? You say you want a business for me. You say you want planning. You want development. You want a market analysis. And guess what? You want a coach. This is the lady right here. Erica expanded, and she's a licensed, not licensed. You heard that? Financial consultant offering, look here, life insurance. Amen. She got me straight. Fixed annuities. And also investment licensure operating up with the value. What is, y'all know, say it with me. I know my value. God, diggity, diggity. Woo! She got to make me. She actually is a servant leader. Ah, she's a mother and of a daughter. She has a wonderful daughter, one daughter. And she works smart. I love that because I work smart to play hard and enjoy the abundant life God designed for us. I'm about to shout just on the bio. Are y'all ready? What they say, get ready. We already ready. We're going to welcome none other than the amazing, the fabulous, the world changer herself, Erica F. Brooks. Are you there?
Hello. I am super excited.
Well, go right ahead. Like, we have our pen. Look, and we have our paper. We are ready. Thank you so much.
Awesome. It is Intentional Tuesday. Tuesday happens to be one of my absolute favorite days of the week because I believe that whatever we do, we need to be intentional. So, again, it's Intentional Tuesday. I'm Erica Brooks with I Know My Value, and I'm super excited to talk about a topic that we don't talk about enough, which is dating and relationships. Both are very important. Now, I know that there are, like, tons of books out there. There are websites, and now we can turn on television and we can see shows that are talking about love and relationships, talking about black love, talking about just different things. But I wanted to talk about that because I hear from men and I hear from women all the time, and I just wanted to let's just get to the meat of relationships. And so before getting started, I just wanted to just kind of just share a few things. Number one, it is totally natural to desire a mate. Don't beat yourself up about wanting to be married, wanting companionship. That is totally natural. The Bible says it's not good for man to be alone. And so we understand that. But here's the key. We can desire a mate, but it can't be our God. We have to make sure that in our desire for a mate or in our desire for marriage, that being married or the idea of being married doesn't become the idol, and that we still seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and knowing that all things, including that mate, would be added unto us. So I just want to, you know, just kind of dive in and begin to talk about relationships. And as Dr. Sunday said, in the end we'll take some questions. So the first thing I wanted to get out the way is I believe, as we talked about the brands, I Know My Value, is we don't know who we are until we begin to know whose we are. And so before we can really even think about a relationship, think about wanting, as Dr. Sanders said, where is my boo? I want a boo too. We have to know who we are, and then we begin to know who we are. Because if we don't know who we are, and we don't know our identity, how can we now become one with someone else? Also, in that I Know My Value, in knowing who we are, we begin to determine our value. And our value is not in the other person. Our value is not in things. Our value is not in other things. So we need to have that wholeness in this current state. So the first thing I want to talk about is when I talk to men, when I talk to women, most women would think that it's a female problem when females say there are no good men out there. And whenever I hear a woman say there are no good men out there, I counteract that with there are absolutely great men out there, not just good men, there are great men out there. And that's one of the biggest tricks of the enemy. And I also advise women that men say the same thing women are in search of, when really we should be waiting for a good man, but men are also looking for great women. So we need to talk about this thing because if men are thinking, where are the good men? Where are the good women? And women are saying, where are the good men? They don't exist anymore. Or women are saying things like chivalry is dead. Or men are saying, well, women, they're just too independent or they don't need a man. And, you know, all these different things and all these different stereotypes, some may be even true with the way we carry ourselves or the way we present. But I want to begin to chip away at some of that and begin to really get to the root and just have some conversation so that we can begin to have some healthy relationships and have some healthy dialogue. So the first thing is that mindset shift. Get out of our head, get out of our mind that there are no good men, there are no good women out there. There are absolutely phenomenal men, there are phenomenal women. And also in the mindset of an independent woman, if a woman is independent, It doesn't mean that she doesn't need a man. It just means that she is single on purpose. She's taking care of her business, whether it's going to school, getting the education she desires, whether it's pursuing the career that she desires or the purpose that she desires, or even walking in her assignment in ministry. However, one of the biggest myths is if a woman is successful educationally, successful career-wise, successful in ministry, is that she doesn't need a man. Fellas, renew your mindset. Even the most successful woman, that job cannot take the place of companionship. That salary, that title doesn't take the place of companionship. And there's still value that a man adds to our life. And we don't want to, and I'll speak for most women, we're not trying to dominate a man. And a very successful woman can still submit and still understand order, that the man is the head. Even if a woman is in ministry, we still understand that's our calling, that's our assignment, but the husband is the lowercase lord. Biblically, Sarah called Abraham Lord. So women, we are to still know our position. If just say if someone's on the line and you are that woman that I am independent and I make my own money and I don't need a man for anything, let's uproot that. No, you're not needy, but it doesn't mean that men aren't needed. And there's a difference between being needy and men being needed. And we do need men. And society has painted this picture that we don't need a man, but that's absolutely false. There are certain things that we can't. God brought Eve from the rib of Adam, and the purpose of men and women coming together is to procreate. We can't birth anything without a man. We need that seed, so we need one another. So that's one of the mindset shifts. Another mindset shift is lumping different men together or lumping women together. Let's shift our mindset of the former. Anything we've went through before, anything we've experienced before, part of having healthy dating relationships is not assuming that everybody is going to be the same. Not looking at every relationship as she hurt me, he hurt me, but beginning to change it to what did I learn from it? Scripture says it was good that I was afflicted so I may learn his statutes. In other words, it was good that I went through that bad relationship. Maybe I have to look at myself and see what am I choosing the same type of people over and over again. Am I learning something about myself? Was that the person that God had for me, or was that the person that I chose? Am I the common denominator in that situation? What did I learn from it versus, oh, my God, they did this, they did that? Mindset shift. What can I do differently? It's never totally 100% somebody else's fault, but what can I do differently? Mindset shift. Know that you are worthy of love. You are worthy of God. Will give us the desires of our heart. And so sometimes people will tell a person that their standards are too high. We have to have a standard. There's a difference between having standards and having a superficial list. Our standards could be, I want someone who's employed. I want someone to love me as Christ loves the church. I want someone who, if they have children, they're taking care of their children, that's going to prove that they're responsible. I want someone who's trustworthy, and that's a standard. Or I want someone who's, you know, whatever those basic things, those basic morals, those are standards, and we shouldn't move away from our morals just to connect with someone. But when we say that, when we talk about our standards are too high or superficial list, then, of course, we have an ideal person in mind. Okay, we want the tall, the dark skin, or the light skin and the long hair, or we want the dark skin and the short hair, whatever it is. We want all the curves. And we do typically have a preference to what we like, but we want to just weigh things out and make sure that whatever we have on our list is not superficial. And it's something, because it goes beyond the exterior. Now, hear me when I say this, and I'll get into that a little bit later. It is very important to be attracted to your mate. Very important. Now, people will tell you in church, as long as he's saved and you're saved and you love one another. Absolutely not. It is very important to be attracted to your mate. It is okay. You can be saved, and attracted to your mate because you're going to open up the doors to other things. So anyway, but want to move on. The first thing, and one more thing under the mindset shift is don't believe the hype. I have so many singles that look on social media and they say, oh, my goodness, such and such just got engaged and their pictures are beautiful and John Doe and Jane Doe, they're a beautiful couple and they're the perfect couple. They're the ideal couple and he just loves her so much and he adores her and blah, blah, blah. I can't wait till I get married. And you know what? They could be happy. But can I tell you that they're not putting on there the argument? They're not putting on there the fights. They're not putting on there the bills that may be overdue. They're not putting on there the real issues that may go on behind the door in relationships. They're not putting on there the difficulties that they're having with co-parenting. Yet a lot of times single individuals, especially or even married individuals, they may compare their spouse to someone else. Well, hey, I really wish my wife was more like her because she seems to be very supportive. My wife nags all the time, et cetera. But that other wife could be not as strong in another area that that gentleman's wife is in. So it's very important with dating and relationships that we're not comparing and that we're not looking at the media. Oh, Jay-Z and Beyonce, they're the couple. They're the it couple or whomever. We're just looking at the carnal things. We're looking at the worldly things or we're looking at the physical, material success, but we don't know what's going on behind the doors. We don't know what tears they're crying. We don't know what battles they're fighting. So I ask that as we talk a little bit more about knowing our value, as we talk a little bit more about dating and relationships, that we begin to right now, you know, the word tells us do not be conformed to this world. In other words, do not look to the world. Do not look to the carnal things. Do not look to the temporal things, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what does that mean? We're going to renew our mind, and we're going to stand on the fact that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. We're going to renew our mind and walk in Philippians 4:8. We're going to think on those things that are true. We're going to think on those things that are honorable. We're going to think on those things that are praiseworthy. We're going to think on those things that are good rapport. And we're not going to think on, you know, well, I'm not going to ever find anyone to love me like he did. Never find anyone to support me like she did. We're going to not look at that. We're not going to look at these other people as being perfect because there's no perfect relationship. There's nothing. The formula and recipe for every relationship is different. You don't want your relationship to model anyone else's. It's two individuals that are coming together. You're two very different people, and you will not recreate what someone else has. So let's just renew our mind and decide that we know our value and we're worthy of love and we're worthy of someone giving to us the same thing that we're willing to give to them. Oh, my goodness. This is my subject right here. What I've seen is a lot of times when people are going through, the first thing a person does is try to put a Band-Aid on it, and that Band-Aid happens to be a person. A person is going through a bad relationship. They just got divorced. They just got out of a bad relationship. So what do? Instead of allowing God to heal them, they just went through grief. They're going through stress on the job. Instead of allowing God to heal them, they want to go to a person and want that person to be their God. What am I saying? We have to be whole before entering into relationships. And so I want to share some quotes that I was reading on today. Paula White was teaching on singles, and she said that when God wants to bless you, he uses people. When the enemy wants to distract you, he also uses people. So let me pause right there. Can I tell you that the enemy knows your type? If you like short hair, curvy figure, when you go to that water cooler married man, the enemy is not going to send tall and something total opposite of what you like. The enemy is going to send you what you like. As the word said, the enemy is walking around to and fro looking at whom he can devour, and he's walking around like a roaring lion. And so, and the enemy wants to sift us like wheat. So the enemy knows what we desire. But if we are in a broken place, and if there are cracks in the foundation, when the enemy sends that thing that you like, everything good is not God. And so maybe that conversation that starts off as, hey, you know, maybe if your spouse is not affirming, the enemy is going to send a woman to affirm you. Oh, you did great in that meeting today. Oh, I love your tie. You look really good today. Constantly bubbling you up, stroking your ego. And so it's so important to be whole, and it's so important when you're in relationships to have that foundation, because the enemy is always looking for a crack in the foundation. Remember the quote. I repeat the quote again. When God wants to bless you, he uses people. When the enemy wants to distract you or destroy you, he also uses people. So I speak to the single people. If that person that really wants to be married, they desire to be married, the enemy knows that. The enemy is going to send your type. They may send that guy who says, hey, girl, the Lord told me that you're my wife, and, you know, you're super excited because you said, okay, the Bible says that when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing, but you didn't pray about it. You didn't want him to meet your friends. You didn't want him to meet your family. You didn't want him to meet your leaders because you was too afraid that somebody was going to tell you no. So I've seen it happen. People backdoor, they go ahead and they get married and found out that they're sleeping with the enemy. But the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but by everything, by prayer and petition, we're going to make our requests known to God. There are plenty of people, and I'm talking about wholeness. I've counseled singles over and over again. There are plenty of people who I had to tell them the hard things. The Lord told me that she is not your wife. Oh, Erica, I remember a situation. There was a gentleman who was, I don't know, maybe divorced for 2 years, very anxious to get married. And he came, hey, Erica, had known a person maybe 4 months. I'm going to marry her. And I said, okay, I think she's a nice person, but she's not your wife. Well, Erica, I was really hoping that you would tell me congratulations. I'm praying for you. I wish you well. And I said, I do wish you well, but I got to say what God says. Well, the person didn't listen to me. They pulled back from me. They were separated within the first 4 months, and they were divorced in the first year. Another situation, gentlemen. Oh, Erica, you know, I want to marry this girl and blah, 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 blah. I had a dream. The Lord showed me that the girl was a witch. And I waited and waited and waited, and God really pushed me. You got to tell him, you got to tell him. And it was a risk because I didn't want him to think, when God shows you things like that, you risk people thinking that you're jealous. You risk, you know, people thinking that you're not happy for them. But I feel like covenant is so serious, and becoming one with someone is so serious. So I have to risk the relationship to say what God says. And so I told the gentleman what the Lord showed me. And when I told the gentleman what the Lord showed me, he said, you know what? You're not the first person to say that. And I'm thinking, wow. And so I wasn't the first person to share that the person that he wanted to marry was operating in witchcraft, and the Lord told me that this woman would try to destroy you. Well, no, I can fix her. He felt that he could fix her. It's okay. So I backed up and allowed the Lord, because some plant, some water, God gives the increase. Well, fast forward. He stayed in the relationship. They did not get married, but that same thing happened. It almost destroyed his career, his health, criminal record, just so many different things that's happened there. But that's what happens when we get anxious and when we get in a rush. So we have to be able to, if we're so blinded, you know, love or the desire to want something so bad can blind us. But that's why sometimes we need somebody, good counsel, to lay eyes on them, to pray with us so that we don't connect. Because brokenness attracts brokenness. Broke familiar spirits attract one another. And a lot of times, in the example that I gave, God never intended for us to go into relationships like Build-A-Bear. And if we're familiar with Build-A-Bear, it's just like do-it-yourself. He doesn't want us to go into do-it-yourself relationships. I know that, you know, this woman is entangled in this. I know that she's like Delilah and she's deceitful, but I can change her. Everyone deserves love. You're absolutely right. Everyone deserves love, but Delilah needs to get healed first. She needs to go through deliverance first, because Delilah will rip you of your strength. So, man of God, I challenge you, be anxious for nothing. I know Delilah is a brick house. I know that Delilah is beautiful. I know that she's saying the right things and she's affirming you, but be anxious for nothing. Woman of God, I know that you've been waiting for a long time and you think you're getting older and maybe you don't have children and you're saying, Lord, I need to just do it. And that leader is telling you it's better to marry than to burn. Let me quantify that. It's better to marry than to burn. So biblically it's saying, okay, if you feel like you can't hold out, it is better to marry than to be out here having sex when you're not married, because when you have sex, the two become one. However, when people teach it, they're not telling you it is still, the Bible still says when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. It does not mean that we're, and the Bible also says do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. So if someone is in their flesh and they know that this person is not a man of God, they're not a woman of God, this is not who God has for them, it is better to detach, get delivered, do not marry the enemy because of religion and tradition telling you, well, you know what, I believe that you're doing this, I believe it's better to marry than to burn. No, it's better to run for it, run for your life, because it is relationships that will destroy people. I was just reading a quote by Torrey Roberts. He said the biggest thing that destroy destiny people are relationships that God told us not to get into. I repeat it again. The biggest thing that destroy destiny people are relationships that God told us not to get into. So let's just make sure that we're hearing from God ourselves. We're not getting into this tradition. If God, if you know that this person is abusive, we know that this person is negative, and someone is telling you it's better to marry than to burn, it is better to run for it, run, seek your deliverance, seek your healing, go to counseling, get some accountability partners, so whenever your flesh begins to rise up, you can go to your sister's house, mama, whatever it is, to make no provision for the flesh, but do not yoke up with the enemy. Do not yoke up with the enemy. God wants us whole. And another myth of the enemy is, I'm going to give my 50% and you give your 50. Well, guess what? Relationships don't work. It takes 100-100. We need two whole people coming together, not a half a person, not a half a person giving 50%, other person giving 50%. No, two whole people need to come together, and two people need to both give 100% for a relationship to work. Wholeness, 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 wholeness. Wholeness is so important. Wholeness. So let's talk about the importance of being whole. Even more, it's understanding that Esther was whole. Esther took 12 months to prepare for the king. How was she whole in those 12 months? Number one, she wasn't dating anybody, because when God had her prepare for the king, she decided that I'm not going to be soul tied to anybody. So I'm going to shut down my ear gates. I'm not going to be going to dinner, lunch with all these people, because my eye is on the prize. I know what God is doing something in me. I'm going to be consecrated and let God do what it is that he's going to do, because you can't put old wine in new wineskins. And I know that when I go into this marriage, I can't take that old baggage. I can't take that old drama. So I'm just going to put my heart on reserve and let God purify me, let God heal me before I enter into something else. Also, Esther only did what God instructed her to do. Esther did not try to manipulate and control the situation and make it happen sooner. And when we try to manipulate and control situations to make it happen sooner, we're going to miss God. Maybe there's someone now who's dating someone, and you know that that's your wife. You know that that's your husband, but the timing is off. Trust God's timing. Trust God's timing, because if you do it too soon, it's not gonna flow the way you want it to flow. I'll give an example of when we try to help God out and not remember his promises. If we look at Abraham and Sarah were promised a son. But Sarah got so anxious and said, you know what, God, in my old age and knowing that I'm barren, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to hook my husband up with Hagar, and then they can have this son. And so she hooked her husband up with Hagar, the maidservant, so that they can have a son. And Ishmael was what they conceived. And Ishmael was the counterfeit. He was not the promise. And so one thing that she didn't realize with that is that when you're hooking your mate up with somebody else, you're creating a soul tie. You're creating a whole nother animal. And so, you know, she has to deal with that. Now infidelity has entered into the marriage, and her husband is soul tied to someone else, and now you have this other child and all these things. So it is so, so, so important that we wait on God and that we allow God to do a work in us before we try to help God out. And then a part of the wholeness is understanding that happiness does not come from another person. I see too often that, you know, she doesn't make me happy, he doesn't make me happy. And we know that a person can add to our happiness, but it is so unfair if we're going through, we're still dealing with things from childhood, we're dealing with the work day, and then we come home and we say, well, my husband doesn't make me happy. We have to find that within ourselves, and happiness is a decision. And the spouse or the mate is the icing on the cake. But we put a lot of pressure on someone to be our everything. And the word tells us that God is a jealous God. So it's very important that we understand that. And so I believe I have a lot of singles that are very, I would say, I know that they think that I'm very harsh because I don't believe in jumping in and out of relationships. And I see that, I mean, literally 30 days, you're back into something else. Next 30 days, you can barely blink your eye before you're into something else. And so I say, God is not going to see your husband. I speak more so to women, because God knows that if they see your husband, he will become your God. And so until you are content being single, being with God, understanding that the word says that a single woman is concerned about the things of God while the married woman is concerned about the things of her husband, the same thing, then we can never be happy married, because when that husband is not there, when that wife is not there, because we want them to be our everything, because we were never okay with having that alone time with God. We were never okay with seeking ye first the kingdom of God. We were never okay with going to have lunch by ourselves. We were never okay with doing anything by ourselves. We even had to call girlfriends or call homeboys. We couldn't do anything by ourselves. We always had to have somebody. God will have no other gods before him. So just ask yourself, do I have any idols in my life? Whatever comes before God, if we wake up and text our boo or our bae before we pray, that's an idol. If we wake up and get on social media before we pray or say, thank you, Lord, that's an idol. And a lot of times we think of idols as statues and things of that nature. No, it is anything that comes before God, anything that dominates our thoughts before God. And so we have to have that wholeness. We have to have that intimate relationship with God in order to have an intimate relationship with the person. And so people talk about, you know, well, how can I date someone of another faith and things of that nature? And so my response to that is, how can you be on the same page if you're not in the same book? How can you be on the same page if you're not in the same book? If the word says, no, not if, because the word says, a man is to love a woman as Christ loved the church. If he doesn't believe in what you believe, then how can two walk together unless they agree? Now, this is not my opinion. This is what the word says. How can two walk together unless they agree? And so check yourself. Check your motives. Because once again, God will not have any other gods before him. And then intimacy. The most intimate relationship we will ever have is our relationship with God. And so I know it's as people say, it's getting about to get cold. It's about to get cuddle season. And so I say, is it worth it? Is one night worth a lifetime of soul ties? If you go to the store right now and you meet someone and you decide to go on a date next week and you decide to have a physical encounter, did you want to marry that person? Because that's exactly what happened when the two become one. Soul ties, soul ties, soul ties, soul ties, the two become one. And so what is a soul tie, people ask? it may be, you know, someone you dated back in high school, and you may be 40 years old, but you keep thinking about that person. You had a soul tie. You can't seem to shake that relationship from 10 years ago, or maybe your kid's parents or whoever it is. That's a soul tie. And so part of that wholeness, we need to be delivered from soul ties before we go into another relationship. Because it is not fair to, okay, John Doe, we didn't work out. I still love him. I'm still in love with him. But I'm going to go and connect with someone else so that I can get over this person. Soul tie, uproot, detach, pray, fast, block the number. Men are visual and women are moved by ear gates. So one way that most people teach that the only way you can get a soul tie is through physical contact. I disagree. Especially for women, we can get a soul tie through our ear gates. If there's someone right now that you know is not your husband, you know that you're not going to, that they're not for you, they're not good for you, shut down your ear gates. Even if it means blocking the phone number, if it means blocking them on social media, because why are you talking to them every single day? And you're going closer to them, and you're getting a bond with them, and you know that they have no intentions of having a relationship. Soul ties, soul ties, soul ties. Soul ties are the biggest hindrance from allowing us to get the relationship that God truly has designed for us. So I challenge us to just evaluate ourselves. I know that this message was definitely the foundation of the Word of God, because that's how God gave it to me. But I want to talk. I mean, when we open up the lines, I want to talk the real talk. I gave you the biblical foundation, but let's have some real talk. We talk about the struggle is real. Yes, the struggle is real, but let's talk about how we can overcome the struggle. Let's talk about, you know, what do you feel that you're doing wrong, or what do you feel like you're doing right, or what's not working? Let's talk about it. And in closing, I just want to say there's no cookie-cutter relationship. Stop looking to make it resemble, you know, something else. Don't try to make it look like your previous marriage. Don't try to make it look like your previous relationship. Don't try to make it look like your best friend relationship, because you have to do what works for you. And I know in a lot of relationships, gender roles have changed. Men are doing a lot of the cooking now. Sometimes you have in the male that's the primary parent. You have to do what works for you. So don't use somebody else's model to determine what works for you. And the biggest takeaway is know your value beyond a shadow of a doubt. If we don't know our value, we're going to accept anything just to have something. We're going to accept anybody just to have somebody. And so when people tell me that my standards are too high, I'm not offended. I'm not upset. I feel like I've come this far. I've had enough bad relationships. Most of them, my mistakes. God showed me the warning signs. I seen the blinking lights. I ignored the warning signs. So now I'm going to do it differently. I'm going to do it God's way. I'm sharing my mistakes so that I can help other people. And so let's talk. Let's talk. We're about to open up the lines. But just share whatever questions you have, very transparent, and we'll go from there. Know your value.
I know my value. I'm like, ooh, I'm just so powerful. I was writing so much, Lord Jesus. But ladies and gentlemen, if you ask, and don't be shy. Ask a question, star one, and we'll actually let you be live to ask your question. Of course, we're going to do it in the decent, in spirit of excellence and respectful. But star one. But I thought a question off that a lot of people, you know, I was kind of playing a little bit when I was doing the pre-show on Facebook, saying, you know, Lord, I want a boo too. But talking, you know, when you talked about it the whole time, but you know, we as ladies, you know, a lot of people tell, you know, cause especially, you know, can I be real here in Atlanta? Ladies are asking men to marry. Men, women asking men out, and the millennials, from what I'm understanding, they don't even call anymore to invite them on a date or whatever. They just text them. What you think we going on with that? I mean, because that can go two ways. You know, the backfire. You're meaning that men can get, you know, used to that, or are we not knowing our value?
I believe in, of course, the biblical model. When a man finds, he finds a good thing. He finds and he obtains favor from the Lord. So women have to understand that we are his good thing. And because of us, he obtains favor from the Lord. So when we really understand that, we begin to really know our value, and we won't try to seek out, hey, look at me, I'm over here, get the attention, or make it happen for ourselves. Remember when I talked about Sarah making it happen for herself? Okay, he hasn't asked me to marry him. He didn't pursue me, so I'm going to ask him to marry me. It's out of order. Men are conquerors. Men are pursuers. And then it's like a role switch. And so I believe that if we pursue him in the beginning, we're going to be pursuing him the entire relationship, because I believe that men know what they want and what they don't want, and if they want to be in that relationship, they will pursue it. Or you're going to find yourself in that marriage where you're pursuing them for attention, you're pursuing them just the entire relationship. Because, and they'll quickly say, I've heard men all the time, I felt pressured into getting married. I hear it all the time. I said, well, no, you made a choice, you're an adult. No, I just did it because she was pressuring me, she gave me an ultimatum, she gave me a deadline. So, yeah, and they'll quickly say, I didn't ask, you wanted this, you asked for this. And I went along with that to appease.
Yeah, I've heard that as well. But, Emma, don't be shy. Star one is the question. The dialogue of this, though. When you say we need to know our value, wait a minute, the engineer's telling me something. Hold on 1 second. What I'm going to do, ladies and gentlemen, just for privacy, I'll just do your last four of your phone number, and that'll be 0978. You're live.
Hi, Erica. This is Venetia. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good. It's sort of a question comment that I wanted to sort of piggyback on in reference to, like, soul ties, which are, like, really deep and, like you said, a hindrance to being found. I've heard a lot of people say an unhealthy relationship, and they believe just because that person, if they have problems, you know, whether it's fights or infidelity, they believe that it's true love because that other partner keeps coming back. The relationship is horrible, but they keep coming back, and they're not realizing that it's a soul tie that's really keeping them there, and it's not genuine love. And I've noticed that a lot. I've been seeing, even like through social media, I've been seeing posts with them commenting, well, you know, he loves me because he keeps coming back, and they're fighting with other women. I just believe that people need that healing, like you said, the deliverance, the healing being to break that soul tie. And I know that you mentioned that, but I just wanted if you could go a little deeper with that, with breaking the soul tie, because that is like a major hindrance. Hope I didn't say too much.
Oh, no, you're good. I think the first thing is being to thy own self be true. A lot of times when those things are going on, we are in denial that it's an unhealthy relationship. We're in denial that this is not God, because there's the bad definitely outweighs the good. So the first thing is that you can't break anything as long as you're connected to it. So it has to be, it's almost like some things I believe in doing cold turkey. The way that I was able to break soul ties, block the number, block the social media, delete the number, because, you know, these days, most of the time, we don't know people's phone numbers. So even when that temptation comes to want to call or reach out, I don't have the ability to reach out. I don't, you know, the email address, delete the contact information. Have accountability partners. Being able to be honest with someone and saying, listen, you know, this relationship is toxic. They keep coming back. I need to be accountable. Hey, such and such called me today. They want to come over. And having those accountability partners so that they can say, no, you need to, you know, we need to pray. You need to steer clear of it. And praying and fasting and truly seeking deliverance, because when we look at the word, a lot of times Jesus asks, do you want to be made whole? I realize a lot of people don't want to be made whole. They don't want their healing because we have to give up something. So in breaking that, we have to really want it. We have to say, Lord, you know what? I uproot, you know, begin to speak the word of ourselves. I uproot every negative soul tie, every attachment, every tentacle, every snare, every connection through blood, through saliva, through sweat, through my ear gates, protect my eye gates, whatever it is, breaking the attachment. Breaking a soul tie can even mean that if you're connected to someone's family, you can't talk to someone's mother every week and think you're going to break that soul tie. Or I don't want anything to do with her anymore, but the family asked me to come over there, so I'm going to go over there. If you're really trying to break it, you have to uproot it. You have to really uproot it. And have someone that you can trust and you can talk to that's good counsel and spiritually sound that's going to pray with you and intercede with you. But the main thing is knowing how to go to God for yourself, being naked before God, because the enemy will make us think that God, you know, make us feel guilty, we can't repent. Well, God already sees. God already knows. And if you don't know what to pray, when Peter was sinking, he said, Lord, help me. Lord, I can't do this by myself. And you know, make no provision for the flesh. So don't put ourselves in situations to where we can compromise and continue to grow that soul tie. Some people would think, well, you know what, I'm not having an intimate relationship with that person, but we're just friends, we'll always be friends. No, if it's something, it's hindering you from moving on, it's a 13-year cycle, uproot it, disconnect. And so those are the, and fasting. You know, even biblically it says this kind comes by prayer and fasting. There are certain spirits or a certain level of deliverance that will not come. Some of us may already be praying, but we're going to have to learn how to pull back from the table and fast and allow God to do what he's going to do. But the question is, how bad do we want it? How bad do we want it? But the main thing is being honest with ourselves, praying, fasting, accountability partners.
Wow. Did that kind of expand a little bit more for you?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
So thank you. Wow. Now, I know that's a show in itself just with the soul ties.
Oh, absolutely.
I wasn't taught that coming up, and honestly, transparency in my life till I became an adult and went through situations. And so that's a whole complex and you know, that actually needs to be addressed. But if anyone else have, we kind of coming down to the end. God already, but star one if you have a question. Wow, this is powerful. I just love this. Oh, I love it. Because we need to get this information. As I said just a minute ago, you know, I wasn't taught this. So many people don't even, when you say soul ties, when you really say demons, okay, people like looking at you like, okay. And so a lot of this stuff, and I'm not, you know, I'm Erica and myself, we are leaders. But the thing is, a lot of times on in 11 o'clock service, 10 o'clock service, it's not, they don't have time to really address that. I'm just being honest, because what most ministers speak, what, 20, 30 minutes, some may do an hour. But this is something you have to dive deep and set in, you know, in situations like this, a platform like this, or also at your Bible study, your small groups, and your women's fellowship, your men's fellowship, et cetera. Now, Star One. Well, Star One, if you have any questions, any comments and stuff, please put on social media and put the hashtag Sunday Soul Service. But, Erica, I guess as we kind of try to close here, I just have a question. I love how you say we need to make sure we hold. I have to always quote this from Jada Pinkett when she married Will Smith back, you know, a long time now, I think. They've been married a long time. She said that Will Smith was the icing on her cake. So let me let you know what that meant. The cake was already made, amen? But she said he was the icing on the cake. And so I love when you said 100%, because we have been taught, let's be real, before that, we saying they coming together as one, meaning 50-50 equals one. But actually, like you said, I love when you said that. Ooh, Lord, that is actually 100%. on both parts. But anybody else, Starborn, you just kind of getting warm here. The topics like this, a lot of people don't know what to ask, but just the information that how it was delivered and how you can actually go back on archives. We actually on iTunes, and we actually on Good Deeds Radio. We're actually also on YouTube, and of course on all the social media platforms, and also on our website, which is www.reneesunday.com, where you can actually download this to send to your girlfriends, okay, to get that question. Now, we actually have someone else. I'm going to say your last four out of, you know, just privacy. 9895. You're live.
Hey, Erica. This is Cassie.
Hello.
Of course, you know I love everything about you, just being transparent. But I do love the fact that you touched on soul ties. Soul ties has been a topic of discussion among a lot of singles. And one other thing about being whole, that was something, you know, the question, do you want to be made whole, choice. You know, you have to first make your choice and shift your thinking. So that right there to me, I mean, I was writing or typing so much, I feel like I don't wrote a book like Ms. Sandy said. So these things that you were touching on is just something to think about, and think doing things alone and being comfortable with yourself, you know, being single. And those are the things that I have really been thinking about here lately, like, oh, man, I can't call so-and-so because they're not where I am right now. It's just, okay, well, I just got to do it by myself. And I believe that's maturity of God, you know, truly bringing the wholeness into play. But the soul ties is something that really – you touched on it, but I know you can go so much deeper into that. But is that something that really may be a topic by itself? Because so many people don't realize how attached they are to, you know, and then the process, because people don't, you know, really talk about it.
Absolutely. I didn't share a lot about me, but I think it's important to share. To kind of know where I'm coming from and why I'm so passionate about it is my background is, you know, any believer that's on the line is I was the woman at the well. When I lived in Atlanta, I lived a very promiscuous life. I didn't grow up in church, first of all, let me say that. I would pop in and pop out, and when I did go, it was very religious, and it was just quoting scriptures, but no one taught me how to live. And so when I was in my 20s, when I was 26, I started going to 25, I started going to a Bible-based church where they were teaching. And the church motto, even though scripture, is in all of your getting, get understanding. And so I began to, when the word went forth, I began to take a lot of notes and go back and study the word. And so it's just like with tithing, I was never taught tithing before. All I did in the traditional church was, you know, to pass around the bucket and you put in $2 and keep it moving. But when I was taught the principle of giving, I was able to start tithing. So in the church that I was in, they began to talk about your body is not your own, but you were bought with a price, or honor God with your body, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. I'm like, what? I've been fornicating? Anybody tell me? I know that all I heard my life was don't. But nobody told me biblically. I knew it was wrong, but a lot of times you just hear, don't do it. I didn't have that sit-down talk to tell me why that this is in God's word. I didn't have a talk about soul ties. I didn't have a talk about if there's something broken in me, I'm trying to fill that with another person. So that's my testimony, is that when I wasn't even praying for God to be delivered, at the time, I was dating somebody who was my type. At the time, I had my type. I remember 6'4", played basketball, coached, the whole shebang, everything my type carnally. And I remember because the word began to get on the inside of me, this person lived about 2 hours away from Atlanta. We were in an intimate relationship. When they came to Atlanta that day, I told him, you cannot stay. It was almost like God did a Damascus Road experience. He did a suddenly and snatched me out. I wasn't praying for it, but it's like the word on the inside of me began to convict. I began to things that I used to do, I couldn't do anymore. And that was back when I was introduced to online dating. And, you know, I was taught it's not what you do, it's how you do it. So I was perfectly fine being promiscuous because I felt that because I'm being safe, it's okay, because that's what the world taught me. And so in that, I'm developing all these soul ties, all these soul ties. And then I began to learn, what is the root of this? Why am I doing this? What is it? And so I went through, imagine starting being celibate at 26 years old, and I'm looking around, and I don't have anybody in my age group that looks like me. And so it was hard. It was tough. I was ridiculed. You know, what's wrong with you? You don't have a man, this and that. You know, they throw things out, or, you know, are you gay? Or, you know, all these things were thrown out there because people are taught, even when you're in even the church compromises. So I'm 26 looking like an alien. And so that's why I talked about accountability partners, because it was important. If I had somebody when I was 26, starting to walk the celibacy walk, when I got 30, I remember my 30th birthday, I was so tired of, I had moved back to Columbus, of the ridicule of none of my friends being able to walk this walk with me. I remember I was heading from Columbus to Charlotte, stopped off in Atlanta, spent the night with a friend, and compromised. So all the doing this as unto the Lord, I allowed for approval addiction. I wanted to blend. I didn't want to be, I didn't want to be different anymore. Send me right back to soul ties. And so I would just kept going through these cycles. I'd go a year celibate, then I'd go back. And, you know, it was hard. I didn't have friends. And, you know, and so I just was feeling like an alien. I would go through 2 years, and then I'd relapse. And when I finally got it, okay, God, you know, I'm going to do this for you. I don't care who. You know, I remember a leader telling me, Erica, I need you to be the last man standing. And so when I realized that when you know, it's going to be between me and God, he's not going to care. I'm not going to be able to say, well, my friend told me, da-da-da-da-da. It's going to be between me and God. And that's when I really began to seek deliverance and asking God. The first deliverance I had to get, because I felt like my deliverance, I was delivered from the fornication, but the approval addiction made me go back because I wanted to blend in with my friends, and I'm like an alien. So I had the next addiction, because remember, we got to walk out our deliverance. I had to go was getting uprooted from that approval addiction, that if it's just me and God, it's just me and God. And so that's why I'm passionate about it, because I went through it. Excuse me. I went through the cycles of it. And I know that me, oh, my God, if God can deliver me, who didn't even know that I needed deliverance, God can deliver anybody. And so I tell people when they ask me, how do I live or walk the way I walk? It ain't because I'm so good. It ain't because I'm so holy. It's certain things I put in place. The word says, make no provision for the flesh. I'm not putting myself in compromising situations because I understand that I'm not a superhero. You put somebody yourself in a compromising situation, 9 times out of 10, you're going to compromise. And I realize that decision, I'm going to have to live with it for a lifetime. Now that I know how to uproot soul ties, it doesn't mean that if I do something today that I'm going to, just because I know how, the process of uprooting, it still could take me a year. It's not going to be me uprooting, but for that process to happen of uprooting, and so it's going to cost me something. And I also believe that with the calling and with the ministry that I have, the enemy will trick us into believing that we're doing something in secret, but when we have a spirit of lust or certain things on us, it's like a blinking light, and that it will impact the anointing. If you really got the Holy Spirit, it's going to impact the anointing, because you're not going to be able to hold your head up and teach for real, if you're convicted. And so just thinking about those things, you know. And so my thing is like, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me, like David. Any of us can turn. Think about David. David had issues. David was looking after another man's wife. He got her pregnant. He had the man killed. So all of that stuff. And God, because David came to God for real, and said, you know what, Lord, when Nathan confronted him and said, hey, you did this, you did that, he said, Lord, I've sinned against you. And so that part of that deliverance is saying, you know what, Lord, I've been promiscuous, I've been lying, I've been trying to fool my pastor, but forget about the leader, I've sinned against you. Because I know what you said, present my body as a living sacrifice. And so when we get like David, honest before the Lord, that's where the deliverance is going to come. And then David said, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. And I believe the reason why David said that, because David understood that, Lord, if I stay in my mess and I know what I did, my anointing is not going to be the same that it is. So we have to get in that place to say, I'm not trying to fool the pastor. I'm not trying to fool my best friend. I'm not trying to fool my family. But, God, you see everything. So, Lord, I've sinned against you. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. And turn, just like David. True repentance is turning. And so that's my story. That's why I'm passionate about it. No matter where you are, you know, anybody on the line, God can do it. Maybe your struggle is not not lust. Maybe your struggle is that loneliness or whatever. We have to get, you know, like Paul says, learn to be content in whatever state, knowing that, you know, God will never leave us nor forsake us. God knows that every hair that's on our head, that's very intimate. We have to have that peace that if nobody's home and we're just home by ourselves, we have to have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And because if we can't get to that place to where we can be home by ourselves, we can go sit at a restaurant, have some coffee, have a smoothie, whatever, by ourselves, that other person, I promise you, when they come into our life, they will be our God. And God will not have it. He absolutely will not have it. And so we have to look at ourselves. Let's not look at what John Doe is doing, what Jane Doe is doing. But I want us, after this show, to examine ourselves and say, Lord, what is my weak area? What am I struggling with? What crack in the foundation that the enemy has tried to creep through that's going to block me from my destiny? And so people, again, I want to go back to the quote, when God wants to bless, he sends people. When the enemy wants to destroy, he sends people. So everything good is not God. Stop saying, oh, my God, he's so nice, he's so sweet, but is he your husband, though? Oh, my God, but is she your wife? And so let's not try to take something. All marriages are not covenant. So let's just say that some stuff we did on our own, and now we want God to bless it. So let's try to get it right the first time. We're gonna make some mistakes or whatever, but let's try to seek the Lord. Don't hide that person from your anointed friend that you know going to see. Oh, no, don't do it. And so I have accountability partners. I have sisters that I'm real with and I'm honest with, and I don't look at, oh, my God, they don't want me to be happy. No, look, I was telling someone today, I was saying, what do you see? What do I need to change? What do I need to shift? And they were kind of evasive. I said, don't be diplomatic with me. Iron sharpens iron. I need you to lay it out. And so we need some iron sharpens iron relationships. We need some relationships so we can not be offended, but we can just be honest with one another, because that's what's going to hold us accountable, because our destiny is too serious to be sleeping with the enemy. It is too serious to be connected, soul tied. And someone says it like, Paula White says it like this, if you can get a physical disease from a person, what makes you think you can't get a spiritual disease from a person? When two people come together, think about it with a DNA test. Your DNA is intertwining. So that's kind of why when you have that teenager and a teenager start having sex and now they act like they've lost their mind, you can tell, because now they're soul tied with someone. That boy has a spirit on him and now she's acting crazy. So look at the warning signs. But soul ties is a show all by itself, I promise you, and we'll deal with it.
Amen. We may have to put a couple hours on that and 4 hours and do it in live event and all that. Amen. Sweetheart, was your question answered? 9895.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Thank you, sweetheart. Well, Erica, Lord, I think we have really, God has shown up, and what they say is showed up and showed out, Lord Jesus. But do us a favor. Well, let me say this first, then I'm gonna turn it over to you, ladies and gentlemen. Please, you know, as we say, leave your comments. If you have a question, of course, Erica will give her contact information, and you know, I give mine here in a minute. But we actually do this every Tuesday. We do have, like I said, in the beginning of the show, we have the Pacific Radio and Podcast. It's Monday and Thursday. We're live from 5:30 to 6. And then also we do have a publishing company, and we do have Sunday Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization. And the premise of all the platforms that I have been entrusted with, and again, I'm Minister Dr. Renee Sunday, the people that just came on late, is to help people shine their light to the world. So the things that we don't want to talk about, we need to talk about. The things that we need, if we need help in certain areas, I mean, from the material things to, of course, the spiritual things, you know, both, not just one. I have been called to create balance, because we do all this in the church, fall out, and da-da-da-da-da, But are we cussing somebody? I'm going to just be real. Are we cussing somebody out when we walk off the church or when we get in our car? We running somebody off the road when we get down the road. I've heard waiters say the worst time they want to work is after on a Sunday afternoon because some people just coming from church. You know, you all dressed up, right? They don't tip. He said they don't tip at all or very little. So he tried his best. You know, when they call on an extra time or overtime or whatever on Sunday, he tend not to do it. I mean, that's sad, but I'm just keeping it 100. But if you want any information from me, I'm known as the platform builder. Also, the Be Seen, Be Heard, Get Paid expert. Our website is www.reneesunday, and that's R-E-N-E-E Sunday, S-U-N-D-A-Y. If you're local here in Atlanta, we're starting back our Women's Fellowship. The first one is October the 9th at 7 p.m., and it's at a private location. We have maybe a couple of spots available. We've been really blessed. Almost 25 ladies have registered, but we may have a couple of spots that may be still available. You can inbox us or you can go to the website to get available for that. It's no cost. We're going to have it every month. The publishing company is working on a prayer collaboration. So the prayer warriors, you know, even if you don't say, consider you a prayer warrior, all of us should pray. What is that? Without ceasing. We actually have that available. We're also working on some actual projects. As I said, I have been created to create that balance. So the business owners, we're going to actually help you implement what you keep saying you want to get done, but you ain't. The business plan, for example, your LLC, to actually get more clients, to get government contracts, actually. One lady called me today for that. If you want to actually see how Delta do things, how Home Depot do things, the corporate stuff, speaking of corporate setting, but all that kind of stuff we're working on, you'll see on our social media very, very soon. But I'm going to just, the reason I said all that, because I'm actually going to be quiet. We want Erica Brooks, we want anything else that you actually want to address in your closing. And please, please, if you don't mind, give us your contact information so we can follow you and support you and all the things that you're doing. And also, we want you to pray us out. And I just want to let y'all know this will be the last time I'm talking, but she's going to take the wheel.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. You can find me on Facebook, I Know My Value, the business page, I Know My Value. On Instagram, I Know My Value _original. Also, phone number is 706-225-9076, 706-225-9076. And email address, erica@inomyvalue.com. Erica with a C, E-R-I-C-A at iknowmyvalue.com. Website, www.iknowmyvalue.com. We will, as Dr. Sunday mentioned, I do Intentional Tuesdays actually every week. However, on the radio show, Good Deeds, we actually have a radio show here 7 p.m. Sunday, so we'll bring you different topics. Now, if you could please do me a favor, you can go on my personal page, preferably my personal page, and tell me what are some of the topics that you would like to hear on Sunday Soul. And I will be reaching out probably to some of you and interviewing some of you because I won't be the primary speaker. I believe everyone has some value to add. And I want to hear your voice, you know, whether you're in business. I know there's some entrepreneurs that are on the line, people, you know, relationships, whatever it is. But the main focus will be talking about relationships. We'll be talking about spirituality, and we'll be talking about the marketplace. So if you are an entrepreneur, if you are a coach, you have something you want to get out there, I welcome you to reach out about being on the show. I'll probably interview two people at once. But the main goal is not about me. It really is not about me. It's to just be a blessing and share. And so I believe that this is a way of taking the gospel, the marketplace, to the nation, because we know that we use the airwaves. So I'm super, super, super excited. The other thing I have coming up, you'll see it on my personal Facebook page, and I Know My Value, Intentional Tuesdays in October. The first three sessions will be on church, overcoming as a wounded warrior. We know it's not God-designed for us to be hurt, devastated, but we're going to address it. Wounded Warrior Church Hurt. Location, everything will be posted this week on my I Know My Value page as well as my personal page. So without further ado, we're going to close out. Father God, Lord, we just thank you right now, God, Lord, for allowing us, God, to freely talk about dating and relationships, Lord. And, Lord, I believe right now, God, Lord, any struggles that we may have, God, we know, God, that your strength is made perfect in weakness, Lord. Lord, even you said, you know, you're not going to take the thorn from our side, God, but you said your grace is sufficient. So I thank you right now, God, Lord, for the struggling person, God. May your joy be their strength in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just glorify you on today, God. I just ask you, God, to cover us in the blood, Lord. Lord, we just continue to pray for our country, Lord. Pray for our nation, Lord. Lord, keep us safe. We just thank you, God, for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We'll see you guys next time. We love you.
Thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Sunday Soul Service, brought to you by me, Dr. Renee Sunday, the platform builder. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an uplifting power pack hour designed to help you believe, trust, and walk it out. And always remember, I love you, but God loves you best.